Buenos días. Hola. Constatatu. Hello. These are just some of the ways we can say hello. This is just a little bit of an unusual podcast episode because we're going to play you an audio from an interview we did with Charlie Chaplin a little while ago. And a video of that is available on our YouTube channel, which you can check out, YouTube/LNARPA. And you can find out all our other videos there. So I hope you've been well, that everything has been treating you well in the past week. The weather's been better, hopefully, where you are. It's been thundering down, raining here for the last week, and I have a leak in the house. So that's been a lot of fun, mounting some ad hoc, anti-flood defenses, sitting with a towel and a bucket and some cling film. And it's not very effective. But that aside, I just want to say as well that we'll be back with the normal programming next week. It's going to be a busy week for us. We're going to be doing a lot of recording, film-wise, and also launching, different projects, more as that develops. And just a quick shout-out to a few podcasts I've listened to in the past week that I would recommend. One of the first podcasts I ever started listening to was the BBC World Service, and I still listen to it. I think it's an amazing, absolutely amazing podcast. They really do a super job of telling stories all over the world, and culturally interesting stories, politically interesting stories, and they capture the magic of the podcast pretty well, I have to say. And that's why I would recommend that podcast. In the past week, I've listened to the episode they have about Egypt and the kind of political turmoil happening there, and interviewing people whose family members have disappeared and who have had, they've been tortured for opposing the government and having different views, and in some cases just for wearing the wrong t-shirt. And towards the end of that podcast, they interviewed a mother who her daughter would disappeared, and then she turned up again, and it was obvious that she'd been tortured, but now she's disappeared again, and nobody knows where she is. And because of her interview with the BBC, the mother herself disappeared for a couple of days, or for a very, very short time, and then popped up on a chat show or a talk show, basically apologizing for criticizing the government in the BBC podcast. So when the podcast was first invented, the inventor of the podcast had this in mind. He felt that the human voice and the way of transmitting stories through podcasts could change society. And who knows, this trickle-down effect of us becoming more aware of these kind of issues through podcasts can have an effect in some way. Because after all, if you look at Amnesty International, their letter writing campaign, which is very simple, from the kitchen of housewives, proved very successful. So this is perhaps another way to bear witness and to keep stories of people alive, stories of people who have been treated badly and put in prison and tortured for the things that they believe. Also, of course, Blind Boy, regular listeners of the podcast will be aware of my Blind Boy obsession and how we listen to his podcast every week. Some good stuff there, interviewing a Limerick author, and obviously Bill Burr as well. If you like football, the Guardian Football Weekly can be worth a shout as well. But I would really recommend, if you've only time for one podcast after this one, the BBC World Service. Not that they need much plugging. But without further ado, this interview is with a man who is half Irish, half English, and he spends his time in Madrid, dressed as Charlie Chaplin, and interacting with people, getting money sometimes, this is his story. And it was a lot of fun meeting him, and very enjoyable to record it. So hopefully you enjoy it as well. Thank you very much. Enjoy this next part, and I will be talking to you with the indomitable Mary next week.
Thank you. Okay, so you're dressed like Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. Is this a fascination with Charlie Chaplin? Are you a big fan of his music, of his movies, or where does the inspiration come from for the costume?
It's not all clothes.
Just all clothes.
No. My wife's family are from where Chaplin was born.
Okay.
There's a market now in London, East Lane Market.
Okay.
And so when I couldn't get any more work in construction, didn't know what to do. So I said, why don't you try doing a Chaplin in the street? So, okay, so we got together.
Okay.
Altered some clothes, got some second-hand clothes, altered them. Didn't have all this stuff when I started.
Okay.
And just went out and tried it, and off we went, you know.
Okay, very good. And you have some artifacts with you as well here, a dog,
yeah.
You have a mannequin from one of his movies as well.
Yeah.
You've made all this yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, paper mache and coat hangers and second-hand clothes again, bit of paint and
Okay. Away
you go.
Do you have a background in arts and crafts or...?
Yeah, when I was in construction, I started off painting and paper hanging, and I ended up doing special paint effects, imitation marble, imitation wood, granite, things like that.
Okay.
Did that for maybe 15 years, something like that.
Yeah.
I've got that in the background. Plus, my father was a carpenter, so I always had to go and help him at work when I was a kid, you know.
Okay.
So I picked up a bit of stuff like that.
Okay. And you're half Irish, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My father's from Cork. I was born in Cork, and then I came to England for work when he was 14, I think.
Okay.
Met my mother. She was very young. She was 18 when she had me. And then they went back to Ireland. She was pregnant, and then I was born there. Then they wanted to come back, obviously, for work to London. So I came back to London. End up in Paddington because it's the route from Cork was the ferry, the boat to the Ennis Fallon, was the boat.
Yes.
And that went to Fishguard on the train to Paddington. So he ended up in Paddington when he first came home, he was 14. And then my grandparents had a shop in Kensington Church Street, which was quite a well-known street in London for antiques. But they didn't have an antique shop, a junk shop. And so we lived there for a while, then they got a house in West London, near the White Sea Stadium, which I think is now gone. Yeah, it's at the BBC headquarters.
Okay.
And that's it.
And how long have you been in Madrid?
On and off, about 18 years.
18 years, okay.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this for all of your time here?
No, yeah. Why we came is I was working in Istanbul.
Okay.
And London.
Okay.
So I had a bright eye. My wife always wanted to come here. She worked here when she was about 18, the early 70s in Placentia, in Extremadura. And she always wanted to come back here. Then we got burgled.
Okay.
She walked in on a burglar. And it frightened the life out of her. So that was like the push to come back to Madrid.
To Madrid.
And, so we tried it for a while. Stayed in Hotel Paris, which is now gone.
Okay.
Now the Apple building.
Just here now, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stayed for 3 weeks to see if I liked it. So she went and got a TEFL. And we were quite happy for a few years. I was going, we were doing like maybe a couple of weeks here, a couple of weeks in London, a month in Turkey, in Istanbul, circulating like that for maybe 4 years. Yeah. Then a couple I worked for, they got divorced.
Okay.
So the work went. So I said, well, let's just screw it, let's just live on our savings for a while. When that's all gone, then we worry about it.
Okay.
So we live for, I don't know, I can't remember, 3 years, 4 years, and so I think. Yeah. And then started looking for work. Well, obviously I couldn't find any by then, you know, I'm too old.
Yeah.
Couldn't be in construction, couldn't speak Spanish well enough to get a job as a waiter. My wife started teaching. She'd already done some teaching when we first came here. Worked for an agency, the EBI, I think it is, up in Service Ministerials. But then, by then, she's too old to work for an academy. They didn't want her. She was too old. So
okay.
She started working self-employed. And then we tried... So I made all these sticks. I was selling those. And we tried selling jewellery in the street. That was crap. And then one night, we sat in a bar. She was, when she was young, she was a professional dancer,
okay.
Disco dancer, And she said, "Sod it, I'm just going to go and dance." So we made a few tapes. She's obviously got the old records, classic records, vinyls. She had the same clothes when she was dancer. They fitted her.
Okay.
So we went to Tweka, Plaza Tweka one night. Put on a Tina Charles record, who's a great friend of hers, that I love to dance. Stuck it on. And that was it. She danced there for years. She earned a ton of money. She became very well known. Rainer of Tweka, they called her.
Really?
For years, we never had to buy a drink in Tweka. We just walk in.
Everybody would know her.
The waiters would give us a drink. Everyone, yeah.
So you were quite an artistic couple, then, no?
She was... People had never seen anything like it. She was 53 and she was dancing for an hour without a pause.
Yeah.
And then not out of breath.
Yeah.
And smoking while she was dancing.
Like Nigelance, yeah.
She can't do now. She's had pneumonia. Her lungs are screwed by electronic... She smokes electronic cigarettes.
Okay.
And they screwed her lungs. So she's just doing a very little bit of teaching. I'm doing this. She has to give up dancing initially because... The Romanians were in there, the Romanian musicians.
Ah, okay.
She'd be dancing and they'd be going around collecting money off the people, you know what I mean? Couldn't stop them.
Ah, okay.
You couldn't stop them.
Obviously there's a lot of competition. We can see some here. There's a magician over there.
Rao from Cuba.
So you know these people quite well,
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I know some pretty well. I know Rao pretty well. Nice guy. I don't know the guy very well, Brendan Brown up there. I just know he's Romanian. Most of them are South American.
Okay.
There's a couple of... it's meant to be. It's meant for people without recourses.
Yeah.
Without any other income.
Okay.
To do this. And we don't pay gastos.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Okay. And do the police, do they...
They don't have to at all.
Okay.
They used to. They haven't for what?
Okay.
2 years, I would say.
Yeah. And what type of routines or characters perform well in these type of areas and which don't?
There's a clown from Chile who's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen him. He stops the traffic. I mean, he has thousands of people watching him.
Okay.
He's brilliant.
Yeah, I know the guy, yeah. Yeah.
Dave, I think he is, from Chile. The magicians, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just three. There's Rao, there's a guy, Danny. His name's Danny Tourette, isn't Tourette? I looked it up in a dictionary to check it. Is that disease where he can't stop swearing?
Exactly, yeah.
His name's Danny Tourette.
But it's a stage name, no? I suppose.
I don't know. He's always swearing. Yeah.
And is there like a spirit, a bonhomie between all of the street artists? No.
Oh, between them three of them? Why don't they change it? So 1 minute they all hate each other. Now, none of them like the Argentinian.
Okay.
You know the mind games guy? No one likes him. He had a couple of heart attacks last year, so everyone's a bit
worried.
Easy on him.
Yeah.
He's got umpteen ex-wives he has to support and kids and things, so...
Okay.
I suppose why he had a heart attack.
And how do you know all this? Do you
gossip,
grab a beer?
Or terrible gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we all gossip. I bet you're terrible gossip as well. I mean,
probably, yeah.
Yeah. Doing the type of job you do, you need to be.
And do these guys, like, because you're primarily based here, right? So do these guys stay here or they travel to Plaza Mayor or others?
They travel all over the country, some of them.
Yeah, some of them do.
All over the country. Yeah. That's why they're starting here now. They're all touring because the money in Madrid got so crap.
Yeah.
So they all go touring now. Because every day there's a ferry in Madrid. Yeah. In Spain, somewhere, there's a ferry.
Yeah.
So they tour around the ferries.
And you think because of the crisis, people are willing to give more money because they realise that people are doing this maybe because they're under-resourced or...
I got in it exactly the wrong time. You know, just always my luck. Just when the crisis was in.
Okay.
Apparently before the crisis, they were earning a ton of money. You know, with the crisis, everyone got tight, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's never changed.
Yeah.
You know, I know Spain's still in the trouble financially, but just recently noticed I'm getting more money. Since I've had this fella, I'm getting more money.
Really?
Yeah. And the Irish flag, with that, because people, you know, like I had a lovely couple the other day. One of them, he was a teacher in Cork for 30 years. I said to him, right, hundreds of my cousins and whoever. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
They've got a farm in Kilkenny now, and their son lives here.
Okay.
So they come to see him. I mean, they give me €20 note, things like that.
Oh, very nice.
And the Irish, I'm not saying it's just one camp, but other most that's true.
Really?
The English sites are ducks out. They just got no interest. All they want to make voice about the blues.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Well, it's the Irish flag that drew me to you originally, because I just wondered, like, are you Irish or what's the story here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
Tony went on to tell me about how Chaplin's daughter lives in Madrid, but he's never met her. He has also been interviewed by newspapers in Spain, Ireland, and around the world, while his picture has been taken hundreds, if not thousands, of times. Tony, just like the great man himself, is building a legacy of his own.
People come up to you, do they ask you questions? Have you had any strange encounters or
No, I haven't. Every time I get an interview, they always say, tell me something strange. I said, and really there's nothing. One thing. Last in the summer, this girl comes up, girl woman, in front of me, and she starts getting hold of me and trying to grab hold of me, and I'm get off her. She's young. And next thing, she's ripped her dress off. This is true. And she jumps on my, she's sat naked, she's got nothing under her dress, nothing at all.
Really?
And she weren't a slim girl.
Yeah.
She was quite a, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's on my box, so gyrating away. Luckily, the police come straight over and
was she
shifted her.
Drunk or?
No.
No,
I couldn't smell drink. I was that close to her. You know?
Yeah, whoa.
She, you know, I'll say, she was.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, actually.
And going back to Chaplin, do you watch his movie series?
In the past,
yeah.
Yeah, but to be truthful, I haven't watched anything for a long while.
Yeah.
Last thing I watched was The Gold Rush.
Okay.
And The Kid.